Mark Tagubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is Bob Griggs, and we are delighted to have you joining us for a few more moments of fellowship together around the truths of God's holy word. Would you get your Bible, please, and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 5. We're considering and thinking about the truth of God's word and how it sets us free from the control and dominion of sin. John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth will set us free. John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And this was in the Lord's Prayer, his prayer to the Father in John 17. And John 8:36 says, if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed, free in action, free to live God's way to his honor, his glory, and his praise. And so we're here in Romans chapter 5, which is a very practical book for the child of God in learning to walk and live God's way. Romans chapter 5, and beginning with verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. That was the purpose of the law, beloved, that we might see sin as sin, that we might realize how vile and sinful and wicked we truly are, how very much we need a Savior. As Paul said in another place, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to God. That is, the law was given to teach us our sin and to open our eyes and our understanding to how wicked sin really is, and to draw us to the living Christ, to open our eyes to our need of a Savior, our need of a deliverer. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, or increase, or be seen for how wicked it really is. But where sin abounded, here's the good news. Grace did much more abound. Oh, I love these much mores that we find here in the book of Romans. Much more God's grace, much more God's goodness, much more God's salvation. Oh, beloved, much more did God's grace abound. God's undeserved favor. Listen, beloved, if you and I got what we deserved, we'd get hell and the lake of fire. We'd get eternal separation from God, not only to go to Hades when this life is over, but to spend eternity in the literal hell, which is the lake of fire, for all the endless ages of eternity. That's what I deserve, because I have broken God's holy and righteous law. But God, through His grace, His undeserved favor, which He showed forth to this sinful boy as a young lad, He made me to realize and open my eyes to my need of forgiveness, my need of salvation, and His Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, entered into my spirit. September the 7th, 1941, I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. All things became new. And yet, even as a child of God, for many years, I lived a defeated Christian life because I did not understand all that it meant to be a child of God. I did not understand all that was mine in Christ Jesus. And it was only through the work of the Holy Spirit of God that began to illuminate and open my eyes to the truth and reveal to me who I really am as a child of God and who every child of God is in Christ Jesus. And so that's what we're discussing, and that's what we're getting into, an understanding of who we are. Because God's people live in defeat because of a lack of knowledge. And this is one thing you need to mark as you study the book of Romans. You need to mark the word know and knowing. Because this word appears over and over and over again. God wants us to know the truth. God wants us to be delivered from sin's bondage. God wants us to live victoriously. And it's through knowing our resources in Christ, knowing what it means to be a child of God, knowing about the old life being crucified and put to death, our old sin nature being eliminated, so that we as children of God are new people in Christ Jesus. Within our spirit, we're made righteous, pure, clean, and holy, so that the Holy Spirit can live within our spirit and can make His home within our spirit, because our spirit is righteous and holy and without sin. And yet there is flesh, and in this flesh is indwelling sin. And we're going to see that as we study here in Romans chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 8. And that's why I hope you can take time to get your Bible and sit down and look with me what the Word of God tells us concerning the child of God. So we see God's grace abounds toward us. And oh, how wonderful is the grace of God, the undeserved favor which God shows forth to us. Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, and it certainly has, and it still does in the lives of the majority of people on the face of this earth. The majority of the people on the face of this earth are on the broad road that Jesus spoke of that leads to destruction and eternal separation from God. And the majority of people are on that broad road that leads to destruction, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. O beloved, are you one of the few who have entered in through the straight gate, who've come in through the narrow way? You see, that narrow way is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through church membership. It's not through baptism. It's not through good works. It's not through doing the best you can. It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, John 14:6, the way, indicating there's only one way. And beloved, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Christ died for our sins, was buried, and arose the third day according to the Scripture, because He and He alone is the way of salvation. Oh, beloved, how He, in the Garden of Gethsemane, was in such agony of soul and spirit that He sweat drops of blood in such an agony that He was in. But He said, not my will, but thine be done. Because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit knew that there was only one way by which man could be redeemed, and that was for the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnated Christ, He who took on human form to die on that old rugged cross, to die that horrible, awful, terrible death, so that Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 52, the last two verses, that He did not even look human after all the abuse that had been poured out upon Him. He died for you and for me. And oh, beloved, how wonderful, How glorious it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to experience His salvation, to know that your sins are blotted out and will never be remembered against you anymore. Oh, how glorious is the salvation that is available to every individual who will cry out to the Lord God to forgive them for their sin, confessing their faith in Jesus Christ and accepting the fact that Christ died for us, was buried, arose from the grave, putting your faith and trust in Him and absolutely nothing else but the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will cleanse you from your sin. He will send His Holy Spirit to come into your spirit to do the work of salvation and to make a new person out of you. I trust, beloved, that you have made that choice and that decision. And then the next step is to be obedient to the Lord in baptism. Baptism is a public testimony to the fact that you have died to the old life of sin. You have been buried with Christ to come forth to walk in newness of life. But baptism has no meaning if you are baptized before you accept Christ as Savior. My wife was baptized before she received the Lord Jesus as her Savior. Later, she saw that she was a sinner. She asked Christ to come into her heart. Then she was baptized again, because only then did it have significance and meaning. Prior, she went under a dry center and came up a wet center. There's no power in being baptized in water. The power is through the work of the Spirit of God, immersing us into the body of Jesus Christ, as 1 Corinthians points out. So again, verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh yes, beloved, God's wonderful grace. By grace are you saved through faith, Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us, and that not of yourselves. Oh no, beloved, it's not of our works, and even our faith comes from the Holy Spirit of God drawing us to Jesus and giving us the faith to believe in and receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, beloved, I trust that you know Jesus as your Savior, and if not, right now that you would open your heart and ask Him to come in. He is willing and ready to send His Holy Spirit into your spirit to do that work of salvation right now. Join us again next time as we continue our study. Till then, goodbye.